It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
And it is Sunday night, so that can mean only one thing. It is time for episode 164 of the Ron and Brian podcast. Joining me, as always, is Brian. Brian, looking like you're in much less pain than you were last Sunday night. How is the knee doing?
I took three Vicodin right before. It will kick in. I tried to time it perfectly for them to kick in at 9:30. Just perfect for our after dark tonight. I am feeling much better than a week ago. The knee is still stiff, achy. I can't bend it very well underneath my desk right now. I've got it sticking straight out.
And that's not the only thing that's sticking straight out, if you know what I'm talking about. Brr.
But I would say overall, Ron, I'm a lot better than I was 1 week ago when we did this podcast.
All right. And let's say people were really inquisitive about your meniscus and actually wanted to see some high quality photos of the inside of your knee. How could they do that, Brian?
Well, what I could do is show them one of these contact sheets that my doctor gave me.
Oh, no, put that out there for free, my friend.
No, people. You don't get to see that for free. If you want to see the inside of my knee, if you want to see my surgery pre, post, if you want to see what a shredded meniscus looks like, I'm going to tell you, it does get erotic.
Gets a little hot.
Right now, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Ron and Brian podcast, I think, or go to our website right now, ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click the button in the upper right-hand corner, which will take you to Patreon. We have multiple levels from $5 a month all the way up to the elite diamond level, which is only $150 a month. Personally, I think, you know, we're giving away too much at the diamond level. But Ron, you talked me into it. You are more a man of the people than I am. So those are going fast. Those were limited. I think we did 100 or 1,000 of them.
Only 100. So it's a very exclusive club that you can get yourself into.
Supply and demand drives up price, people. So if you want to see pictures of the inside of my knee that were generated during my surgery, become a Patreon in the next 90 minutes and you will be able to watch live a stream of our after dark, as we like to call it, where we'll be showing not only the insides of me, but we're going to be doing a lot of spicy stories.
All right. Well, let's get things started on the free side of the podcast. As always, it's Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Prost. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
Brian, since you are hepped up on Vicodin, I'm going to assume that you're bringing water to the table again this week. Oh, he's drinking, my friends. He is drinking on this, the day after your 49th birthday. Is that a special birthday beer that you have right there?
It is. It is from our good friends in coming out in New Jersey. This is the Ross Brewing Company. What did they give us? They sent me over a stack of their Manasquan Wit beer. Look at that. A 16-ounce can coming in at 5.1. I would say, staying true to the style of wit, the Manasquan Wit is a tribute to the clean and simple yet elegant flavors that you would expect from a wit beer. Tastes of coriander, orange peel, and lemon zest give the aroma and taste a burst of flavor. Manasquan Wit is a tribute to the Manasquan River, and it's quite the hit all along the Jersey Shore, all the way up to Queens.
Like beer?
And do you like that beer?
I do like this beer. This is what I would define as a crushable wheat beer.
All right. Very nice. Brian?
What are you drinking?
I was hoping you would ask. This is a new beer that I actually found in the store today from our good friends at Dogfish Head Brewery. This is a little something that they are calling Beer to Drink Music To. This is an IPA. It's their hazy IPA brewed with pureed peaches, tropical hops, and Mayan sun sea salt. Malayan sea salt folks wanted them to put that in, and they said, get out of here. We are going with the Mayan sun sea salt. Clocking in at a modest 5.1%. Let's see how this goes.
It looks like it's got a nice color.
It's interesting.
I don't like the word interesting. It's not the word I want for my beer.
It is for I mean, it's a good flavor for being brewed with pureed peaches. I'm not getting as much peach as I'd like, but I think the salt is balancing out that sweetness. You really get the salt aftertaste. So it's interesting.
Okay.
I would drink it again. I don't know that I could sit and drink a lot of them, but it is something that I would drink again.
So you would not say this is crushable?
I don't know that I would say it's crushable. I think the salt flavor keeps it from being crushable.
You're crushable.
That's just my take on it.
I've got a crush on you, Ron.
As always. And you know what we all have a crush on in here? Every week, we have a crush on racism.
This
week
in
racism.
Well, to celebrate your birthday week, Brian, America came up with two full pages of racism once again, although this is an 11.5 font, so not as many as previous weeks, but let's get right into it. Oh, and I forgot to put the racism banner up. There we go. So let's go, Brian. Last week, we talked about England's loss to Italy on penalty kicks in the Euro 2020 final. A segment of England's fans decided to respond on social media with numerous racist posts aimed at Marcus Rashford, Bukayo Saka, and Jadon Sancho. In addition, a mural of Rashford in Manchester that was put up to commemorate his work in campaigning for free school meals for the most vulnerable of children in Britain was vandalized. Comedian Andrew Lawrence was one of the people putting racially fueled posts online, which resulted in all of the shows on his current tour being canceled, as well as being dropped by his agent, RBM Comedy. A federal lawsuit has been filed against Albuquerque's public school district, accusing the district of discriminating against a black student due to her hair. According to the complaint, the 13-year-old girl who is black was placed on an in-school suspension at Cleveland Middle School in December of 2019 for having purple highlights in her hair on the grounds that the hair coloring violated school policy. However, the suit says other students with similar hair coloring who were not black were not disciplined by school officials. It seeks an award for compensatory damages and other relief and asks the court to order the Albuquerque School Board to end disciplinary practices that disproportionately target minority students. Going over to Texas, public schools there are one step closer to no longer being required to teach about various American civil rights movements in social studies classes. On Friday, the state Senate voted 18-4 to pass Senate Bill 3, which drops requirements for teachers to include lessons on Cesar Chavez, Susan B. Anthony, the history of Native Americans, the writings of Martin Luther King Jr., and other figures and documents in their curriculums. In Sacramento, California, students and parents are demanding a Sacramento City Unified School District teacher be fired after she was caught in a recording explaining to students that the N-word, ending in either an ER or A, they aren't terrible things to say anymore. In addition to the N-word, Kit Carson International Academy Spanish teacher Catherine Sanders is also accused of using offensive terms for Latino students. Students claim that their previous complaints about Sanders were ignored, but the school district has now opened an investigation into her behavior. Two men recently threatened to vandalize a memorial for enslaved and free African Americans on the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill campus in videos posted online. It'd be nice to have a couple of slaves, one of the men said while making a whipping motion. Quote, it'd be nice. I wish I had about three or four. Mow the yard. Clean the house. UNC police observed the men, who were also carrying Confederate flags, but said that they were unable to remove them from campus due to free speech guidelines. A woman has been arrested for a possible hate crime after she reportedly hit a six-year-old child who was with his parents on the Las Vegas Strip. 57-year-old Shelley Ann Hill allegedly struck the child and then yelled, quote, coronavirus was all your fault. Hill is being held at the Clark County Detention Center. She is facing three charges, hate crime, battery, and child abuse or neglect, with a preliminary hearing scheduled for July 27th. A man filmed his encounter with a woman who he said followed him out of a California Walmart and falsely accused him of stealing her son's phone. The video, shared to social media by Yashir Bryant, shows the woman following Bryant and repeatedly accusing him of taking the phone. Later in the video, the woman's son reappears with his phone in his hand, having left it in their car. When Bryant asks for the woman for her name in order to press charges, she tells him to go fuck himself. The internet has identified the woman as Liz De La Torres, an employee at Kaiser Permanente, but we are still waiting on confirmation of her identity. In Villa Rica, Georgia, a man has been arrested and charged with assault, battery, cruelty to children, and disorderly conduct after he allegedly beat a black teen with a belt because he didn't like the teen's use of profanity. 29-year-old Matt Martell was arrested after the incident involving 15-year-old Malik Sim. An American Psychological Association analysis of body camera footage from more than 100 police officers found that during traffic stops, officers tend to speak to black men in a less respectful and less friendly tone than they typically did with white men. This study builds off of previous research that found the language used by police in Oakland, California, was less respectful towards black residents when compared to white residents. And a former St. Louis officer was sentenced to 4 years in prison on Wednesday for beating a black undercover cop at a protest. 34-year-old Randy Hayes pled guilty in 2019 to using excessive force on Luther Hall during an incident in September 2017. Hayes is the first of three officers to receive a sentence for the incident. Former officer Dustin Boone was convicted of depriving Hall of his rights and will be sentenced at a later date. And former officer Bailey Coletta is expected to be sentenced on Thursday for lying to the FBI about her role in the assault. And before we wrap up here, we have a few stories in our Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
First up, last week, we played the video of Edward Matthews of Mount Laurel, New Jersey, who is now facing a total of 14 charges, including assault and bias intimidation, as well as weapons and drug-related charges. During a Wednesday hearing, a judge ruled that Matthews should remain in jail until his next hearing on August 25th because he poses a, quote, high risk of danger to the community. Also in March 2019, we brought you the story of two families that claimed that a character at Universal Florida flashed a white power symbol while posing for photos with biracial children. Those families are now suing the park, alleging that the incidents left the girls suffering from mental anguish, loss of dignity, humiliation, embarrassment, and other emotional distress, and the families are seeking $30,000 in damages. And we also previously reported on this story of Isaiah Brown, who was shot multiple times by a Spotsylvania County, Virginia sheriff's deputy not long after the same deputy had given him a ride home after his car broke down. Deputy David Matthew Turbyfill has now been charged with one felony count of reckless handling of a firearm. It's a charge that would normally be classified as a misdemeanor, but was upgraded to a felony due to the seriousness of the injuries Brown sustained. Brown was shot around eight times, and six of those bullets are still lodged in his body. And Brian, that is the week in racism.
That is some shitty racism.
I think I still managed to bring it in under 10 minutes. A lot of racism in a short period of time.
Yeah, I think he came in around nine. Maybe right. 8.5, 9 minutes.
Just want to keep you happy, Brian. That's all.
I also feel you're. I feel like you're reading faster than you used to.
I want to try and get through it. I don't want to. I feel like you get upset with me when I take up too much time with the hatred in the world. So I want to make sure that you're happy. There we go. 7 minutes, 9 seconds. So I think I gave you 2 minutes and 51 seconds back in your show.
That's still longer than I ever lasted. It's you. This is the issue, is that the podcast is an hour long. The show is only an hour. And when you do a 12, 13 minute racism bit. I mean, that comes to almost a quarter of the show.
All right. Fair enough. I'm not complaining. I'm keeping it. If I can go back to my drink of the week for a moment, the salt is becoming off-putting. It literally is like I'm like Kramer, like these pretzels are making me thirsty. Like it really,
these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Like I'm drinking this beer and it's making me thirstier because
now the question is, do you think that you would enjoy it more if it was Himalayan sweet salt and not this Mayan salt?
I don't know. I gotta question the choice of the Mayan sun sea salt now.
Well, didn't the Mayans go extinct?
They did, and maybe their salt choice was the reason why.
Maybe the salt is taken directly from their burnt corpses.
Good call. In the meantime, though, time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
It's petty.
Okay.
It's very petty.
Okay.
But I'm going to share it. So as many of you know, I had my knee surgery last Friday, and I had family that came down to stay with me.
Yes.
And my nieces are teenagers, and they are very in sync with what teenage fashion trends are.
Okay.
And I don't know whether you are aware of this, but teenage girls and women in their 20s have really embraced the wearing of heavy metal black t-shirts as part of their wardrobe, regardless of whether they are fans of the band.
So they're kind of stealing your look, is what you're saying.
No, I meant my nieces literally stole my shirts.
What did they take from you, Brian?
At one point, they said to me, "Hey, can we borrow a t-shirt?" And I was like, "Sure, no problem." I said, "You know, just go into my room, open up a drawer. I have tons of t-shirts." And they're like, "No, which drawer?" And I was like, "No, literally, open up any drawer. It's right. Going to be filled with black t-shirts." I said, "They're all extra large, so just grab one." Next thing I know, I heard the phrase, "Oh wow, you have a lot of cool shirts."
Nice.
And then right as they were leaving midweek, it was just like, "Hey, do you mind if we take these?" They asked, you know, okay. They were raised properly. They're like, "Hey, do you mind if we take these?" There's no way I could say no. I mean, they just gave up four or five days of their life to come and make sure that I was, taken care of. And they were angels to me. So I had to say yes. But there was a part of me that was just like, "You don't even know who these bands are."
But Billy makes a good point here. Your nieces' necks are all well covered thanks to your shirts. We know you favor the high neckline.
Look at this.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this neckline?
Nothing.
What is wrong with this?
My neckline is very similar to yours.
And it feels good, right? You feel secure, good. Safe.
I feel like tucked in like a little blanket.
Ron?
Yes.
What's prickling you this week?
Ooh, Brian, this week. So if I may, my waterproofing company is my beef this week. So you will remember, I want to say it was about a month ago, how I had we actually ended the show a few minutes early because I was getting water in my basement due to a storm here. So attempted to correct the issue myself, didn't work. Had the waterproofing company out that's done some work here before. They gave me a quote. They're like, "Oh, we can dig down here. We'll put a pit. We'll put a pump. We'll do all this stuff. Bing, bang, boom." So Friday, they come out, do all the work. Everything looks good. And then last night, I believe you probably had a very similar storm to the one we had here, where it was just heavy rain, heavy water. Mm-hmm. And what goes off at like 11 o'clock at night, but the water alarm in my basement because it's still leaking water into the basement. So $2,800 later, and I still have water coming into my basement.
Now, remind me, because I know we spoke about this. They did not come and proof the entire footline of the home. They just did the certain sections, correct?
The last time was the laundry room. This time it's the other side of the basement. So it was coming from a window well from the outside. So they addressed that, or said they addressed it.
Was the water coming in from an area that they have worked on?
Well, they worked on the area where it was coming in, and this was supposed to prevent that from coming in.
Then you have a valid beef.
Yes, exactly. So not a French drain this time, Billy, but a sump pump. Yes, they put a pipe through the wall to drain out the water that was coming in through the window well outside, and then a sump pump takes it off to the side of the house, but it is still getting into my basement.
What is a French drain?
I mean, a French drain is just basically a drain they put along the wall of your the floor of your room, and then that just drains into a sump pump and it goes out. That's what I have in the laundry room.
Is that the one that uses more tongue?
That's the one that surrenders when it gets too difficult to move the water.
Yeah. Is that the one that will not let American fighter jets fly over it as they are en route to Libya to take down the terrorist dictator Muammar Gaddafi?
I mean, that is the one that the Senate renamed the Freedom Drain many years ago.
Is that the one which allowed terrorists to invade the rock concert by the band the Eagles of Death Metal and allowed the venue to get shut up and hundreds of people died?
That is the drain that doesn't necessarily shower all the time.
Can we end this bit? Because I just ran out of things to say.
You ran out of bad things to say about the French? Fair enough.
Oh, they smell. They're arrogant. They think they're better than us.
I remember you actually went on a rampage about the French before. I think we do have. I don't know if I still have the sound clip here or not. Wait, let me see here.
I think I did. French. What was it again?
That was our previous entry in entry music.
Fuck the French.
No. I don't fuck around. I do not fuck around when it comes to the French. Hey, Ron, let me ask you something. Did we get any notes?
We did not get any notes. Perfect show last week. So congratulations.
All right. No notes from last week. All right. Excellent.
We do need to talk vaccines, as always. Stories coming out each and every week about some of the lesser vaccines out there. This first one is about Johnson & Johnson for their vaccine, where the FDA has now added a new warning related to a rare autoimmune disorder where a small number of Guillain-Barré cases have resulted, which is, so basically it's where your immune system attacks the nerves in your body. So there's been about 100 preliminary reports of Guillain-Barré in vaccine recipients after the administration of 12.8 million doses of the J&J vaccine.
Ron, at this point, how can the FDA, how can America, how can the government that you depend on still have the gall, the nerve to refer to the Johnson & Johnson one shot as a vaccine? Vaccine protects people. It makes them better. It provides them with the ability to not catch a disease. That is what a vaccine does. I don't know how we can still call Johnson & Johnson a vaccine. Also, additionally with Johnson & Johnson, another three members of the New York Yankees tested positive for COVID this week. We now have six players on the COVID protocol list getting decimated by the Red Sox this year. All because the New York Yankees, who are a billion-dollar organization, decided to go with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Ridiculous. Well, anyway, if you are male and over 50, you may want to look for a different vaccine, as those are the people that seem to be getting the Guillain-Barré, mostly from the Johnson & Johnson shot.
Only 49 over here. Good to go.
So you're good to go. And talking about the Pfizer vaccine, Israel officials are warning that the Pfizer vaccine is significantly less effective against the Delta variant of the coronavirus. This is the strain that was first seen in India and now accounts for 31% of all cases in the United States.
Ron, I don't understand how the FDA, the American government, has the audacity, the gall to go out there and tell the American people that the Pfizer vaccine, I mean, that it is safe for them to have injected into their body. I mean, let's be real. A vaccine, it's meant to protect the body from the disease that it is providing a shield for. If the Pfizer vaccine cannot hold up against the Delta variant, then how do they still have the nerve to sit there and tell people that what Pfizer is giving you is called a vaccine?
It's ridiculous, Brian. It's ridiculous.
Let's be honest. There is one vaccine, right, that is still out there that has been tested, has been tried, has proven to hold up against the Alpha, the Beta, the Kappa.
Well, the Beta is the most recent one that people are concerned about, first identified in South Africa.
I thought we went Delta. I thought we were going in alphabetical order.
Nah, they're just coming up with names, I think, as they go along.
So it's Delta and then Beta?
Delta was the one that was in India, and then Beta was the one that was in South Africa.
Because Delta is right now the prevalent strain in America, ravaging unvaccinated people. I think I read a statistic this week, and we all know statistics on the internet, always true.
Yes.
Like 95% of people hospitalized with COVID right now are unvaccinated.
Yes. But what we're also now seeing is a return to indoor mask mandates in some areas due to increasing case numbers. United States cases are up over 30,000 new cases a day again, mm-hmm, after having dropped below 10,000. Getting so bad in L.A. County that Los Angeles County residents are once again required to wear masks indoors, regardless of your vaccination status. Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey apparently considering that as well. A lot of people in the government and in the CDC saying that this may be the summer of the indoor mask mandate again. Brian, if someone needs a mask, where can they turn to?
I would have to say that they can go to RonandBrianPodcast.com, click on the store link, and you will be able to purchase for yourself for a very reasonable price, 100% cotton, these face masks. They are performance enhancing. They are moisture absorbing. They are one directional in the sense that you can breathe out, but nothing will come in. The natural filters that come in the special materials that were incorporated in the manufacturing process. I mean, not only does it have this perfectly designed logo showing your support of fine quality American-made products, but you're also supporting the podcast.
All right. You know who could also use that podcast mask, Brian? Teenagers in the state of Tennessee. Because the State Department of Health in Tennessee decided to halt all vaccine outreach to teenagers, not just related to the COVID-19 vaccine, but to vaccines for all diseases. In addition, the health department will no longer hold COVID-19 vaccine events on school properties and plans to stop sending postcards or other notices reminding teenagers to get their second dose of the COVID-19. Local newspaper, The Tennessean, reports that these changes come amid pressure to appease anti-vaccine Republican legislatures in the state.
This is so fucking scary.
It is.
The level of anti-education that is prevalent in this country within a certain segment of the population. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not referring to white Southerners. That's not.
No.
It is the it's the embrace of this paranoia against science, that diseases that were eradicated because of vaccines now are going to be reintroduced into society because you've got these Southerners and Westerners too. You've got these Westerners that are all sitting there saying that that getting vaccinated now across the board is a bad, terrible thing to do. These people are alive and survived their childhood because they got vaccinated.
And if we look at Tennessee in general, only 38% of Tennesseans are fully vaccinated. And if the pace of vaccination remains the same, the state will not reach the 50% vaccination mark until next March. Also, in the last 2 weeks, the average number of new cases per day jumped from 177 to 418, while the average test positivity rate, Brian, increased from 2.2% to 5.4%, getting close to pandemic positive rate numbers again in Tennessee.
Fine. I'm okay with that. Perfectly okay with it. At this point in America, not speaking globally, because globally, I understand not all countries have been as successful in obtaining the quantity, the inventory, the warehousing, the number of. Come on, you got to bail me out at times. Other countries don't have the ability to vaccinate their people as well as America did. But at this point in America, if you want the vaccine, it's there. It's not hard to go out and get it. If you are unvaccinated at this point, you have basically said to the world, I am not afraid of catching COVID. And if I do, okay, well, we'll just roll the dice. And if you're going to get sick from it, if you're going to die from it, this is because you've brought it on yourself. But, unless they're teenagers.
Right.
The people who cannot be vaccinated get an asterisk.
Well, the fact that the teenagers can't even vote on the individuals that are siding to keep vaccine information from them. And again, it's not just COVID-19 vaccines. It's any vaccine that any teenager should be getting.
Correct. Tennessee is absolutely fucking insane. The people who have who are pressuring the Department of Health in this country to be less vocal about the advice to the constituents, they're doing such a disservice to the people that are supposedly they're there to represent. It's gotten scarier.
Yeah. Well, more importantly, Brian, let me ask you. What are you watching?
Oh, Ron, I've been home a lot this week.
You have, yes.
A lot. I've been watching a lot of television, so I have a lot to talk about. Where do we want to start? So we watched, I'm assuming you saw the season finale, episode 6 of season 1 of Loki.
I did,
yes. On Marvel.
On Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, thank you. Yep. So what I liked about this was that it really wrapped up the entire story of Loki. it takes you from, Avenger Apocalypse, you know, where he is ending with after having been arrested, and he gets introduced to the Time Variant Association, the TVA, also known as the Tennessee Volunteer Association.
Okay.
It shows you the arc. Alliances are made. Friends are introduced. Romances, violence, fight scenes, challenges, quests.
Did you actually watch the episode?
Yeah, it didn't really resolve anything. And it really felt like it was just an introduction for, okay, let's wait for season 2.
And not only that, it introduced what people assume will be the villain for phase 4 of the Marvel movies. Like Thanos was the villain through these first phases. They believe that the individual that you see in the final episode leads to the creation of the new supervillain to fight the Avengers.
Wait a second. So the guy that they're sitting in the big library room with, he's the supervillain?
Or one of his variants, yes. That will probably be, but again, yes, it tied relatively nothing up. So we will have to wait for season 2 of Loki to see what parts of the storyline will continue there. And we will have to see as the future Marvel films come out. Apparently, some of this is supposed to tie into the new Doctor Strange movie, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I know you will be headed out to see that once it opens, but you can fill me in.
I will wait for, I will not go out to watch it. I will wait for it to be on Disney Plus, knowing that you and your wife will go out and purchase it, and then I can watch it for free, as I did this week with Black Widow, starring Scarlett Johansson and Maria Shriver. I believe also Rachel Weisz was in it.
Okay. I don't know about them, but Scarlett Johansson, definitely.
Well, Rachel Weisz was in it. Rachel Weisz was the mother woman.
Was it? All right. I'll take your word on it.
Go IMDb that shit, my buddy, because I recognized her before the credits. Anywho, I saw Black Widow. You watched it last week. I watched it this week. One of the more enjoyable, rewind. That was one of the least frustrating Marvel movies I have ever watched. It literally felt like a self-contained story. They start off with the backstory. They bring everybody up to speed. They have a bunch of fight chase scenes. They reintroduce characters from the backstory. There's the big confrontation with the bad guy. And then another big fight scene. Scarlett Johansson slams her head on a desk, which somehow made sense in the story. and then the story ends. Ending up somehow she survives a plummet from a spaceship, which is in the air, that gets destroyed. It comes tumbling down, broken into 1,000 pieces. But seemingly everybody that was on the spaceship all survived the fall.
Well, you know, it happens.
Somehow.
So that's how you get to be a superhero, Brian.
Right.
Yeah.
So I watched Black Widow, enjoyed it.
Good.
Also started watching season one of Succession on HBO. I've had several people, I thought you were one of them, recommend it to me, tell me to absolutely watch it. I sat there and despite the cast, Brian Cox, who I saw on Broadway, don't remember what he was in though.
Okay. I couldn't tell you.
Don't remember. But I know I saw Brian Cox in person on Broadway. And speaking of Brian Cox, this is going right to my head. Great cast. Not what I was expecting whatsoever. I thought it was going to be something very dry, very dull. It's absolutely not. It is about the head. It's like a Rupert Murdoch type character who's the head of a corporate conglomerate, and his children, who are also fabulously wealthy because he is, have all elevated levels within the professional world because of their family relationship, and they're all fighting for they're jockeying for power. Hence the name. They all want to. Who's going to replace him? I know there's two seasons. I'm almost done with season one. Chef's kiss. Loving it. And then there was one other thing I watched this week. I don't want to spend 10 minutes on this. I also highly recommend for anybody that wants to explain it to me, No Sudden Move, which is just came out on HBO Max, starring Benicio del Toro and Don Cheadle. Had a great cast. Brendan Fraser, who seems to have put on a couple pounds, was barely recognizable until one of the last scenes that he's in when they showed his face from a different angle, and I had to IMDb it. Yes, that's the second IMDb reference that I made this episode. And then Matt Damon comes in, as well as somebody else who I'm forgetting right now. It's a very film noir type of approach. A lot of twists, a lot of turns.
Okay.
Leaving me... Oh, John Hamm. That's who I'm thinking of, from Mad Men and from 30 Rock. Also, if anybody does watch this movie or has watched this movie, if they could please explain the last 20 minutes of it, because it left me thinking that I don't understand what's going on.
All right. Hopefully Ron, so fill you in. Yes.
This is what happens when I stay home for a week and a half. I end up watching a lot of television. What did you watch? What have you been watching?
So in addition to the finale of Loki, I also watched on the Peacock app, I watched Dr. Death, the story about Dr. Christopher Dunch, who basically was sentenced to life in prison for gross malpractice. resulting in the maiming of several patients, the killing of two of them while he worked in hospitals in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He was accused of injuring 33 out of 38 patients in less than 2 years prior to his license being revoked by the Texas Medical Board. Pretty solid cast in this one. Joshua Jackson, Alec Baldwin, Christian Slater. You know, they take some creative liberties with the story, but I'm 6 episodes through the 8-episode series. Very interesting, very frustrating, because it also, in addition to Dunch being a bit of a psychopath, it also shows the limitations of the systems that are in place to protect people against bad doctors and medical malpractice and things of that nature. So I would recommend it. Again,
I'm that only, sounds interesting.
It was very interesting. So I would say that. And I tried to watch How to Be a Tyrant on Netflix.
Yeah.
Couldn't get through the first episode.
Okay.
Just now.
Is that because they were everything they were trying to tell you, you already knew?
They said, you know, only if you are a narcissistic megalomaniac could you be a tyrant. And I'm like, well, I know way too much to, you know, fall into that. But yeah, it just was the way it was done was just, I thought it was going to be like an in-depth look at like Hitler and Gaddafi.
Yeah.
And it just really goes all over the board. Like it's really like literally done as like a how-to book. And it just kind of misses the mark.
That's a shame.
You know what I'm not going to be watching, Brian, is the 2020 Summer Olympics from Tokyo, which I think are starting. What exactly is going on?
I believe they're starting within the next 10 days.
Okay.
I believe that the athletes from all across the country, athletes from all across the world are currently making arrangements, preparing, already flying over into Tokyo, Japan, which is going to be hosting the 2020, now in 21, Summer Olympics, because Japan has stuttered, not the medical condition, but because they have stuttered in the rollout of the vaccination process, they are absolutely not allowing any spectators to participate in the Summer Olympics, which means that you've got athletes who will be performing in empty arenas, venues, amphitheaters.
So, and you also have athletes just dropping by the wayside due to injuries and COVID. U.S. tennis player Coco Gauff tested positive for the coronavirus, so she is now had to pull out of the Tokyo Olympics. There was a woman on the U.S. basketball team. She pulled out for mental health reasons. So this is, I think it's going to be a bit of a disappointing Olympics because there's a lot of people seemingly getting sick prior to the event.
Well, I'm going to say that this Olympics will be a shit show also because they are not requiring athletes to be vaccinated. They are not vaccinating athletes who arrive. So you are going to have athletes that are this is going to be a disaster. You've got to we're talking a super spreader event amongst the world's toughest athletes.
And the Olympics do start this Friday, July 23rd. We'll run through August 8th. You know, they are entering into a country where the vaccination rate is still in the single digit percentages. They fear that an outbreak could spread amongst the Olympic Village, could spread into the general population. South Africa's soccer team had two of their men's team members based in the Olympic Village and a staff member tested positive and being isolated. There was an IOC committee member also tested positive. The British Olympic Association confirmed that 6 athletes and 2 members from his track and field team were identified as close contacts as an individual who tested positive following their arrival. So this is, I think it's going to end up being like the Hunger Games of COVID.
Ooh, I could actually watch the Hunger. I mean, like if we're talking like real live Hunger Games with athletes, like I would watch that shit.
You'd be okay with that? I'm impressed you know the hand signal. Did you watch all of the Hunger Games movies?
I did not see them when they first came out. I saw the first and second one before the third one came out in the movie theater. I thought the first one had an interesting concept, and then it just shit the bed and got stupid. But I thought the first, much like The Matrix, where I felt like it should have been a self-contained story. The first one, which was just like, hey, if this is some time in the future, or, you know, an alternate world, or where everybody's a variant, we could just have like these things where once a year you've got these kids that are fighting to the death for fame and celebrity. I thought that was interesting, but then it just got stupid.
Okay. Another great milestone in America, Brian. Housing has become so expensive in the United States that the typical minimum wage worker cannot afford rent, according to a new report. There is no state, county, or city in the country where a full-time minimum wage worker working 40 hours a week can afford a two-bedroom rental. This according to a report from the National Low-Income Housing Coalition. On top of that, a full-time minimum wage worker can only afford a one-bedroom rental in only 7% of all U.S. counties. That's 218 counties out of more than 3,000 nationwide. Wow. Reports showed that a worker would need to earn $24.90 per hour in order to afford a two-bedroom home at fair market rent, or a $20.40 housing wage would be needed for a one bedroom.
Jeez.
And you wonder why people aren't looking to rush back to work, even for $15 an hour.
Well, they're not looking to rush back to minimum wage jobs where right. they're going to be overworked, treated poorly, and paid the legal minimum.
Right.
It's I stand on the side of the workers.
I mean, it's basically people are deciding, do I live paycheck to paycheck being home on unemployment, or do I live paycheck to paycheck working at a crappy job where the general public will disregard my safety, if not my general humanity.
Yeah. I mean, how many videos have we watched of terrible customers mistreating fast food employees, retail employees? It's I would move in with in-laws.
Right. I mean, some of these statistics across the country is insane. I mean, if you look at the average renter in 17 states earns at least $5 below the state's average two-bedroom housing wage. The biggest gap is in Hawaii, where the difference between what an average renter earns and the state's two-bedroom housing wage is $20.13. In California, where minimum wage is $14 an hour, a person needs to earn $39.03 an hour to afford a two-bedroom apartment and $31.06 for a one-bedroom. A minimum wage worker would have to put in 89 hours every week just to afford the one-bedroom and 112 hours a week to afford the two-bedroom.
So fucking sad. And to hear people sitting there complaining that people need to just go out and get a job when these are the, like, what we don't realize is that these are the jobs that are literally the only ones available in many markets. You don't have a middle class. You've got the ability to work in a fast food place or work at Amazon and right. or Walmart. You know, I mean, the fact that you've got corporations that are paying people so little, meaning the minimum wage, that these people qualify for government assistance, food stamps, rent assistance, just for them to be able to survive. And all this while you've got Jeffrey Bezos, a billionaire flying off to space. It is literally the very definition, to me at least, of offensive.
And the most affordable state to live in, Brian, is West Virginia, coming in 50th for housing wage. You only need to earn $14.83 an hour to afford a two-bedroom there. However, average minimum wage in West Virginia is $8.75, meaning you would need to work 68 hours per week to afford a two-bedroom home.
You would also have half your teeth ripped out as soon as you went, you crossed the state line, and you would have to move in with three of your cousins.
Brian, a little quiz real quick. For the state of New York, how much would you have to earn per hour in order to afford the average two-bedroom home?
New York State or New York City?
New York State, the entire state.
All right, so I'm going to have to include the Kingsley-esque upstate New York. I'm going. The question is, how many hours?
You can give me either. You can give me the hourly rate or how many hours you would need to work in a week.
I prefer the number of hours, and I'm going to say the number of hours that a person has to work per week to afford a two-bedroom apartment, 93.
It's 109 hours per week. You would have to earn $34.03 an hour to afford it. Oh, Brian, what's your zip code there?
11. Whoa. I'll type it in the private chat. I don't think there's any reason to give out my fucking zip code online.
Well, I mean,
you've
given out your actual address on this podcast before, so
have I really?
You have, yes.
Oh, it's the booze, Ron. The booze.
All right, so let me see here. All right, so in your zip code, Brian, a two-bedroom housing wage is $43.46. A one-bedroom housing wage is $38.08.
Run that by me again.
So two-bedroom housing wage, $43.46. One-bedroom housing wage, $38.08.
So for somebody to afford a two-bedroom apartment in my zip code, they have to work – they have to make an average of $43 an hour?
$43.46, correct.
I need a raise. Oh, what is that I'm drinking to help the healing of my meniscus? I'm drinking a Next Level hydrogen-infused water.
Nice.
You can get it at, what's the website, Ron?
You can get it at nxtlvel.com, I believe.
Now explain to me, Ron, how this water is helping my recovery from surgery.
It's the colloidals, the gold, the zinc, the platinum, the copper. the colloidal metals are just going straight to that meniscus and healing it. Real quick before we jump off of this, because you say I live in a bougie area, but you can afford a two-bedroom in my area for $24.42 an hour. Average.
Yeah, that's because Bill Cosby's been in jail for the past 3 years. By the way, I would like to point out, as much as I have busted your chops in for living blocks away from Bill Cosby, where is Bill Cosby right now?
New York.
Yeah, he's in my town. Yep. Bill Cosby's up in my town.
We do want to cover this because this is a fairly horrible story, which shouldn't surprise us because it comes from Florida. So Florida parents are furious after state softball championship awarded boys trophies while the girls received goodie bags.
I don't get it. I don't get how still in this day there are people who are in charge who are still thinking it's okay to provide different differences to males and females. I don't understand it anymore. Like last year, what was it? The female women's basketball tournament, the NCAA, their training room was literally 1 through 5 pound weight racks while the men were given what felt like an arena size something. I don't know, Ron. Bail me out on this one.
That was the NCAA March Madness where, you know, the men had great facilities to work out in, but the women basically had like a rack of free weights in a conference room somewhere. Yes, it is Next Level. What else do we have to talk about this week, Brian? Oh,
Ron, I had a question for you.
Yes.
Do you want to answer the internet this week? I've got two questions for you.
All right. I will answer the internet for you.
And these are brought to you by Barstool Sports.
All right.
the leaders of the bro culture. If you could get a stat sheet about your life, what three things would you want to know?
A stat sheet about my life? I have no idea.
Okay. Second question. If you could live, if you could live anyone's life in anyone's body, who would it be?
Be yours, Brian.
That's a bullshit. That is bullshit. Bullshit.
I'd have to go Jeff Bezos just to see what it's like to be that rich and that evil.
I'll give you. That's a great answer. Right. That's a great answer. And I'm going to look up what a stat sheet is because I actually don't know. So I thought you would know, and therefore you would be able to answer that question.
I get it like an athlete, like if you want to see like, you know, your batting average. Yeah. Or, but I don't know. As far as my life, yeah, I have no idea. Don't know what that means.
Hotel room sold, dollar value.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Number of times you've banged out your wife, Emeka.
let's get to a more somber note, Brian. We lost a ton of celebrities this past week. Starting off with losing one of the greats from the wrestling world, WWE Hall of Famer and main eventer for WrestleMania 1, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, passing away at the age of 71.
He was up there and looked absolutely god awful. Awful.
His son had posted a video of him a couple weeks back on Instagram, and he looked bad. So I don't think anyone was surprised when they saw that he passed away.
Well, when he was in wrestling at its peak, I mean, the man was literally, he was a bag of muscles.
Yeah.
I mean, he had muscles upon muscles upon muscles. I have to believe that he helped introduce the steroid era to professional wrestling.
Whoa, Brian. Allegedly.
Yeah, no. I didn't say he did. I said I have to believe because the level of muscles he was bringing to the table, I can't believe were man-made. I'm not saying that he was on steroids. I have no fucking clue. But he basically made it so that people like Iron Mike Sharp had no longer had a career.
Just grabbing a name out of the hat there.
No, my knee's starting to bother me. Right. But the idea was that he literally was like, this was muscles. And
right.
Somehow he had muscles over here. Like he had this muscles that they... Gorilla Monsoon, what would he call these? The trapezius?
Yes, exactly.
He had all these muscles. And then you saw a picture of him at some convention or whatnot. And it looked like he weighed about $125. Like literally, you wouldn't have recognized the face if somebody had not said to you, that's Paul Orndorff. Like, it was so sad seeing something had ravaged his body. And it wasn't Rowdy Piper.
Passing away this past week, Travis Fulton, former boxer and MMA fighter, who recently agreed to plead guilty to child pornography charges, dying by suicide at an Iowa jail at the age of 44. He was charged with sexual exploitation of a child, child pornography possession, and receipt of child pornography. Because he allegedly attempted to get a minor to engage in sexually explicit conduct to produce visual depictions of such conduct on a digital camera, and is also alleged to have a depiction of another minor under 12 on a So I don't think we're gonna miss that guy at all.
No, fuck him.
But we will miss Charlie Robinson, who played court clerk Mac Robinson on the NBC sitcom Night Court. Passing away at the age of 75.
I like that show. I like that show a lot, Night Court. There was something about the combination. It was an ensemble cast. Every character had a different angle, represented something very different. Put all together, it made a wonderful story. Separated, I could not have cared for any of the characters, but somehow combining them all made a very entertaining sitcom back in the
84 to 92.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Also passing away, Dick Tidrow, former Yankees pitcher and longtime member of the San Francisco Giants front office, passing away at the age of 74. Don't remember his time as a Yankees pitcher.
I do.
Do you?
No, not really.
All right.
I remember the name. I remember him. I just do not remember him as a Yankees pitcher.
Got it.
I remember him as a manager.
It might have been.
I remember him managing after, I guess he would, what years was he pitching for the Yankees?
I mean, I'm not sure. He pitched parts of 13 seasons with the Indians, the Yankees, the Cubs, the White Sox, and the Mets. Had a 194 career record. Yeah. And then was a pitching coach as well, it would appear.
Well, good for him. He had an incredible mustache.
Worked as a special assignment coach for the Yankees from 85 to 93.
Good for him.
Also passing away, Jeff Labar, longtime guitarist for the metal band Cinderella, dying Wednesday at his Nashville home at the age of 58. No cause of death.
Nobody's food.
I know you were a big Cinderella fan back in the day.
I know for a fact I bought their first album on cassette.
Did you have one of their t-shirts?
I never saw them live.
All right. This is sad to note, fellow podcast.
Whoa. Sorry, are you saying that Jeff Labar wasn't sad?
No, but the...
Is it because he's a podcaster? You feel somehow simpatico with this person?
Fellow podcaster Matt George, involved with the She Rates Dogs podcast, co-host and producer of it, died tragically in a hit-and-run incident in California, passing away at the age of 26. His co-host, Michaela Oakland, revealed his death on Twitter. So that was sad to see, especially, you know, someone so young. But the one I think that hurt the most out of all this, Biz Markie passing away at the age of 57. Not exactly a surprise. His death had been announced erroneously a couple of weeks back, was battling complications from, I believe, diabetes, and passing away the other day. Brian, your thoughts on Biz Markie?
Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say it's my insulin. But you say it's my insulin. Oh, baby, you.
I'm going to tell you something, man. Biz Markie, I was such a... There was something... He was the court jester of hip-hop back when it first came out. There was something automatically lovable, likable. He was a terrible enunciator.
Enunciator?
He was a terrible enunciator. But you couldn't complain. If it wasn't for Biz Markie, there would be no Old Dirty Bastard.
There you go.
He was from Queens.
Could be.
No, I think he was from Harlem.
Was there a bigger song at the time than when Just a Friend came out?
No. When he starts that song and it's got the piano intro and he starts telling the story about how he went to go visit his girl up at the up at college, and he walks in on her with a friend, and then you know that the beat is going to drop. Everybody in the room immediately just starts banging their head because that track, no matter what you say, is a banger.
Yes, it is.
Also, don't forget, he is also known for Vapors. People are always clinging to that one song of his.
Right.
But equally popular at the time was Vapors, which we all know, she got the vapors, as well as Nobody Beats the Biz, which took off what I thought was genius as a New Yorker was he took the chorus from the electronics store, The Wiz, which had their jingle was Nobody Beats the Wiz. He spun it to Nobody Beats the Biz.
Oh.
And that was the song of the summer in 1986, people.
All right. And many people in the hip hop community talking about his influence on them. Questlove, Beastie Boys, Chuck D.
Brian.
Yes. I mean, many, many people deep in the hip hop community So we will miss Biz Markie, and more importantly, everyone missed out on the 43 points they could have gotten had they selected him in the Ron and Brian death pool.
Also, speaking of missed points, there was a 3-year-old this week that died from a botched dental procedure. I don't know whether it was in America or not, but those are 97 points. That was guaranteed first place if somebody had picked that random 3-year-old kid. Shocked nobody did.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah,
we've had a death that has been
very quiet
in the death pool. So as we head into the final 5 months of the year, we will see if there is any movement in the death pool. Brian,
yes.
I guess we can tease this a little bit. You know, we have often talked about how, you know, we have beaten the pandemic here in the United States, despite what the case numbers will tell you. So we are going to be putting together a night of comedy, if you will. And we know that some of you may be concerned with going out to big venues, with going to clubs, with going to arenas, with going to restaurants, with
nobody wants a super spreader event. Right,
exactly. So we are going to be doing a small, intimate affair in my living room.
Yes. One requirement. I know I spoke about this with you and your wife over the weekend. You must have the Moderna vaccine. Not only do you have to be vaccinated, but you must have had received the Moderna. After the stories that are coming in of people with Johnson & Johnson getting the Bears-Guillaume disease, which I believe is blood clots over the age of 50, the people with Pfizer who are showing a zero resistance to the Delta variant. The only thing that is safe in Ron's living room right now is the Moderna vaccine.
All right. We are not going to be doing this right away. Obviously, we all need to be free to enjoy Hot Podcaster Summer.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
So we will be doing this in the fall. We will get information out there. We're going to try and keep ticket prices low. Because we know not only is housing tough to afford these days, but the cost of seeing comedy shows in a podcaster's living room really shooting through the roof. So we're going to try and keep this where the common man and woman can afford it. So as we secure our headliner, we will be making further announcements down the line. But it's something exciting, Brian, something, you know, I know you and I are excited about. And we know once we're able to provide more information to our fans, that will be exciting as well.
Yes, absolutely. It's one of the ways that we want to say thank you to the people that weekly say thank you to us.
Right. Anything else on your end before we look to get ready for After Dark?
Let me just take a quick... I think we are good to go.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody joining us for the podcast here on Sunday night. Again, if you are a Patreon subscriber, you will see us in a little bit on After Dark. If you are not a Patreon subscriber, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, click in the upper right-hand corner to become a patron. You've got 22 minutes to subscribe, and we will get you the link to join us After Dark. We will have photos of Brian's meniscus, his sexy, sexy meniscus, on After Dark, so you know you don't want to miss that. Brian, anything else before we roll on out of here?
I love you. I love everybody listening, watching. Anybody who has decided to spend the last 68 minutes with us, I appreciate all of it. Be nice to each other. This is... these are some dark times. You know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but we are not in the light. We are still in the dark. But we're going in the right direction. Get vaccinated, people.
All right.
Get Moderna.
There we go.
Moderna.
Thank you, everybody. We will catch you all again next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube. Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.